every day of your life. Can you say these words in Psalm 73, verse 25? It's a verse that I started my Christian life with 55 years ago. And the Lord said, this is the way you must live. And I've tried to live according to it. Psalm 73:25. Speaking to the Lord Jesus, as we do today. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. If you can say that, you're a worshiper. And if you can mean it, that means you're saying to Jesus, Lord, from the depth of my heart, I can say to you, I'm not saying this before men, I desire no one on earth but you. If I have you, that's enough. And I desire nothing on earth but you. That means I don't desire a house or property or money or health or wealth or anything. If I have you, that's enough. I'll tell you honestly, don't say that too quickly. Think about it. If you say it, you've found the secret of worship. Most Christians never worship. They sing. They give praise. They thank God. A lot of our singing is praise and thanks. That's not worship. Worship is here. When you fall before Jesus and say to Him, every day of your life, Lord, I desire nothing but you. Why should we say everything every day of our life? Because it's so easy to say that one day, particularly when we are young and we're not married and we are very dedicated and wholehearted, and then other things come along. We get married and we have children and we have accumulated a little wealth, and then we need to say that again. Because it's very easy to lay your Isaac on the altar and a few years later take him back. What is it that the Lord was testing in Abraham? Am I really more to you than the most precious thing on earth? And I believe the reason why many Christians do not progress in their Christian life is because they cannot say this. You don't become spiritual by knowing more of the Bible. It's good to know the Bible. But you become spiritual when you're a worshiper. We must be worshippers more than anything else. That is the greatest thing of all. The first book of the Bible written was the book of Job, and what we see there is a man who worshipped God. Job chapter 1 is a very important chapter. It's the first chapter that God wrote in the Bible, long before Genesis. Job lived 500 years before Moses, who wrote Genesis. And in the first chapter of the Bible, you read of a worshipper. Not a preacher. You read about preachers later on in the book, and God said, I hate those preachers. But the contrast you see in Job is between three preachers or four preachers and a worshiper. Job was a worshiper. He wasn't just quoting scriptures to others. He was one who, when he lost everything, he bowed down and worshiped God and said, I came into this world with nothing. Naked. I didn't even have a stitch of clothing when I came to this earth. Everything I had on this earth, God gave me. And He has every right to take it all away. And He has taken it away. All the wealth I accumulated, all my children, I worship God. That is the first message that God wanted man to hear. That's why He wrote that in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible that God wrote. That's important to understand that. And that's the type of person about whom God could boast to Satan. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever this church may think of you counts for zero. The opinion of this church about you is fit for the trash can. Throw it there. But what the devil thinks about you is more important than what everybody in this church thinks about you. And of course, what God thinks about you is most important. But remember this, that the devil's opinion about you is much more valuable than the opinion of men, because most people don't know anything about your private life or a lot of details of your, the way you live at home, how you talk to your wife, your devil hears it all the time. So don't be fooled by people thinking you're very spiritual. Throw that in the trash can and ask yourself, what does the devil think about you who sees you all the time? What did the devil think about Job? God could boast about Job to the devil and say, have you seen that man? He's not like those preachers, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, and not even like Elihu, who's a little better than them. Job, there's not a man like him on the face of the earth. That is the challenge that comes to us from the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, and that can be our testimony too. If we can say this every day of our life, Lord, I really desire nothing on earth for you more than you. When I get up in the morning, I seek to worship God. All alone, I don't even have to open my mouth. Worship is something from the heart. And all you have to sincerely say to God as you begin every day is, Lord, this day I desire nothing but you. I'll tell you what will happen in your life. You'll be 100% freed from murmuring and complaining. Do you know why you murmur and complain at home or at place of work or when the traffic is heavy? It's because we desire something other than Jesus. You want a comfortable life. You want less traffic on the road. You want the food to be up to the mark or something else. You don't want to be irritated at home. That means you are more important in your life than Jesus Christ. If a man says to Jesus, I desire nothing but you. I don't desire a comfortable life at home. I don't desire that I should be free from all tension and free from sickness or free. Everything must go smoothly according to my way. A lot of Christians are like that. They imagine that they love Jesus Christ. I tell you, they don't. And because they keeping on increasing in Bible knowledge, and in a church like this, you can increase in Bible knowledge by leaps and bounds and fool yourself that you're spiritual when you're not. Permit me to speak to you lovingly as a father would to his children. Make this the goal of your life, my brothers and sisters. This is what Jesus came for. He didn't come to produce a bunch of people who sing well or increase in knowledge. He came because he loved us and he wanted a people who will love him supremely. Once he told his disciples, if you love even your father or mother or wife or children more than me, you're not worthy of me. That's what he said in Matthew 10. Do you know that? If you love your job or your money more than Jesus, Jesus says, you're not even worthy of me. Imagine hearing Jesus say to me, you're not worthy of me. Oh Lord, what's the use everybody in the church thinking so highly of me? If you turn around and say to me that I'm not worthy of you, does the praise of men mean more to you than the approval of God? Dear brothers and sisters, live before God's face. I urge you. It's very easy to slip back from that. You know, maybe we turned wholeheartedly to God in the day when we were converted and sinners, but things have gone well with many of us in the last few years. Maybe you have prospered in your business and you're part of a good church now. You're not part of a dead, backslidden type of church. All these things can go to our head. And we can be, I believe that's one of the great dangers of people pursuing holiness. That we can begin to think, wow, like the Pharisee, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I thank you that I'm not like other churches. We're not like other churches. We're special. We're different. We hear the truth. We preach the truth. We're not ashamed. We're not after money. We are after God and all this type of stuff. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. You can never think like that if Jesus is the passion of your heart. If you say to him, Lord, I desire nothing on earth but you. Even ministry is not important for me. I say that I've been 50 years in the ministry, but I say to the Lord regularly, Lord, My ministry is not my God. You can take it away. My health is not my God. Money is not my God. I'm prepared to live very simply all the rest of my life. Jesus is everything to me. Those are the people who will live the most useful life for God on earth, even if they're not great Bible teachers or evangelists or church leaders or anything. Many who are last on earth will be first in that day. Because the Lord is looking for those for whom He is most precious. Those of you who are married, husbands, let me ask you, what do you desire from your wife? Do you desire someone who cooks well? Or who keeps house well? You ask yourself as a husband, what do you desire most of all if you're a good husband? Now, if you're one of these useless worldly husbands, you'd want someone who cooks well and washes your clothes, keeps the house. But if you're a really Christian husband, what do you want from your wife most of all? It doesn't matter one bit if she doesn't know how to cook or keep house. If she loves you with all her heart, that's what you want. But that's exactly what Jesus wants too. It's not your service. It's not attendance in church. It's that He is more precious to you than anything else on earth. That's the secret of a good marriage. And that's the secret of a good relationship with Christ. And that's a way to spiritual growth. And the reason we read the Bible is because it's only through the Bible that I can get to see more and more of my bridegroom. I feel sorry for people who don't read the Bible regularly and study it. Because I don't believe they'll get to know Jesus. How can you know Jesus without... Which book in the world tells me about Jesus? No book except the Bible. And if you're really passionate about knowing Jesus, you've got to read the Bible.